Hey, this is Kevin Smith, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man, the only radio that matters with the name Brendo Man in it. If you're not listening to it, just what in God's name are you listening to? I can give you some options, but that would defeat the purpose of the plug. Brendo Man.
And welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Phil seems to think that you guys wouldn't mind if we only recorded a 10-minute episode.
This will be our first 10-minute episode, so hope you guys don't mind.
And then first he was saying 45 minutes, and even that I feel people would be offended.
No, I think it'd be fine. We'll do 20 tonight.
No, we're not.
Well, they'll already know how long it is because they can see how long when they're playing it. So we'll see.
We all know that that's
we'll
not
We'll see who's
happening.
Right. It's time.
It's
Marmaduke time. We're wrapping it up already.
What if we do Marmaduke right now, and then that way
it's just done.
It's done.
What if we did? What if we just did it? And we had. Like
I don't want to do that. We got a lot to talk about. We still got stuff to talk about.
What do we got? We're good.
A lot of things.
All right, let's talk.
Why are you in a rush?
I'm just being weird.
Tired?
No. I'm just thinking it's funny. I think it would be funny to do a 10-minute episode. Just do Marmaduke and be like, thanks for listening. Maybe not tonight.
I wouldn't feel comfortable.
It'd be funny.
Well, now we can't do it.
No, because then they'd say, like, yeah, Phil was right.
All right, well,
it's time.
It's Marmaduke time.
Are we really doing it?
Let's do Marmaduke right now. Let's just do it right now.
We're doing it. All right. Last week.
It's not the end of the episode, you guys. Everybody chill out.
They already know. Again, they can see how long the episode is when it starts. So they're already laughing like, oh, those idiots, it's a 2-hour episode. I know they're not going to be done.
But we don't know that, though. What if we did it right
now?
What if
we do? We might. This is exciting.
We need the Marmaduke.
All right. So last week, yeah, Marmaduke looks like he's sucking his soul
like
out of his face.
Crushed Phil. All
right.
He completed the ritual.
So Marmaduke's out in the snow. There's a big snowman.
What is happening
he's
in this?
He's barking at the snowman. Woof, 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 woof. And then Phil and Dot are inside looking out. He's been barking at that snowman all day. And then all you can hear is woof, woof, woof. Back inside, you can hear Dot say, Phil, do something. The neighbors will be complaining again. And Phil screams, what can I do?
Control your dog, dude. That's what you can do.
Oh. Dot shoves him down into the chair with her hand on his chest, yelling at him. She says, well, for one thing, you could go out there and introduce them to each other. Wait. Introduce who? Maybe, okay, this is... Does that make sense?
The whole thing.
All right.
She's talking about Marmaduke and the snowman.
You've got to be kidding. And so then Phil's putting on his jacket, coming outside. Marmaduke, I don't believe you two have met. Oh, also, he shaved off his mustache in this one frame, in between here and here. He's got no mustache there. Marmaduke, I don't believe you two have met. Marmaduke's still barking at the snowman. Woof, 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 woof. Marmaduke, meet Elwin Snowman. He'll be sharing the yard with you until spring. And Marmaduke looks at the snowman. And in the last frame, they're looking out the window again. Phil says, look at that. And Dot says, well, you know how he is with strangers. And Marmaduke's leaning up against the snowman.
Okay, I'm saying it right now. This is the stupidest Marmaduke I've ever read in my entire life.
They introduced him.
Marmaduke is barking at the snowman because he doesn't know who he is. This is where I feel like Marmaduke, maybe he did complete the soul transfer, and now it's just a dog.
Yeah, oh.
And the soul.
Here's what it is.
Phil is the dad.
No, the soul is in the snowman.
That doesn't make sense.
Sure.
This Marmaduke is stupid.
I'm just saying it could be. That's why he's like barking at it.
Also, this part, it looks like...
It's his butt.
That's a butt, except it's his front. It's a front butt.
It's like that part in Spaceballs like, when they switch his head on backwards.
It looks like either a butt or giant boobs.
Yeah, that's a really weird...
That's such a weird... Because it's like the bottom of his coat.
Yeah,
there's like a weird crack.
That's not right.
What kind of coat is that? Because a normal trench coat would go all the way up. Either he was too lazy to draw the line all the way up, or he's like, I'm going to put a butt there.
It's a butt, guys. Hey, this is what I got in my strip today.
I think Brad Anderson was feeling a little cheeky.
Dude, no, he was too lazy to draw the line. He's too lazy to color a mustache on this part. I think
and there,
this was
he was
like
too
a,
lazy to write or a joke that made any kind of sense.
The one thing we do see here, though, is that Dot has some serious, like, violence issues. Because she shoves him down in the chair with her hand on his chest and is, like, yelling in his face.
That's funny.
I mean, look at that. He was standing. Or was he?
He definitely, I don't know, that's weird.
Well, one way or another, she's on top of him, shoving him back.
And she's yelling at him.
Yeah, I mean, that's, she's got some anger issues.
This is a Dot episode. But meanwhile, Marmaduke, he actually looks like he's shrunk.
Yeah, he's very small.
That's why I think maybe in the last episode he completed the soul suck.
Maybe, so we'll have to see going forward.
I think Phil is embodied I think they're Phil Duke.
Yeah.
In combined vessel.
This would be interesting.
And the dog is just a dog now.
And also he has a butt on his front.
That is a butt!
I mean, that definitely is.
Well.
Alright.
There you go, everybody.
There's Marmaduke. Marmaduke right off the bat.
And that's the end of the episode.
That's gonna do it. So, check out RadioBrendo.com for all your Brendoman needs.
BrendoMan@gmail.com. Well, what's going on, Phil? Tell me about your week.
Oh, we're not ending it now?
Are we?
No, I don't think we're going to end it
now.
Do
you really want to end it right now? Let's be real.
We're not going to end it now. But we are going to end it in 5 minutes, so get ready for it.
I don't know about that.
Let's see. My week. So we had rain, then we had no rain, then we had rain again.
It was actually warm for a couple days.
It was, and so...
I actually almost turned the air conditioning on one day, and I'm like, I can't...
It just feels wrong, right?
But I was like getting warm in here. Yeah.
It feels wrong. But so we, this weekend, let's see. What did we do this weekend? We hung around our house a lot this weekend.
You guys have been doing some hiking.
We did. Well, it's been fun because.
You can't go, I can't.
No, you don't get out of school in time.
I get out at 3:30.
I know, but we're out like on the trail. Janelle's been getting out at 2:45 and getting here and we're on the trail at 3. Because the problem is it gets dark at 5. You know, so.
This is the weird dichotomy here in Yucaipa, because then by the time it's, like, bright outside and we can go later, then it starts getting too hot.
Well, I think there's a little window in, like, when we get the spring forward, it's during spring break.
Yeah, but then,
The problem, if you remember correctly, when we were hiking a bunch before, when he didn't have a job, so. But we did do something cool. We went up the part... You know, we've done a number of times with you where you go up the switchbacks there.
Yeah, you made it all the way.
There's a loop.
Yeah.
We were like, when we went that, like the highest point we've gone to, we were probably 50 steps from completing the loop and going back down.
Oh, you did the loop. You can go way higher.
Well, we did. We did that too because we went a number of times. Yeah. So we did the loop. We went back and forth.
Because that loop's not that bad.
We actually
went. But if you go higher, like way higher.
We almost made it to Zanja Peak. That's how far we made it. And on the hike back.
It gets pretty steep up there.
There is some hairy. There is one spot.
It gets real hairy.
I will not take the kids back that way again. But we were like stuck. Like it was getting dark and we had to get home. But there's parts, and I am not exaggerating, because people think of Yucaipa as like a flat desert if they've never been here. There, we were walking along and there's a sheer drop, almost vertical, of 200 feet. Yeah. And I am not exaggerating. It's way down.
Pretty nutso up there.
The trail is like a foot and a half across. Yeah. And I'm like, There's no guardrail. I was terrified, but we couldn't go back. We didn't have time to go back. So we went along. It was terrifying. I like gripped the kids' hands. Janelle and I were like single file, made the kids walk behind us. And I'm like, we're never going past that way again. Cause like all it would take is one person to slip. It was horrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts up there.
It's really, really nuts.
I told you it was nuts up there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I know a route now that we can go where we can avoid that and still go up and do the stuff. But it was hairy. And I've done some pretty crazy hikes and stuff. I might do it on my own as an adult, but I would not take my kids on it.
Gates and I went to this one part that was pretty nuts, I remember.
Well, even lower down, it's pretty steep. But this is like
and we were when we were doing it, it was already – because this was during the like – late, I think it wasn't full on summer, but it was definitely hot.
Yeah.
And we were starting to get real hot.
Yeah.
Cause we left pretty early, but like around by like 10, 11, it was already getting real hot. And I'm like, we got to get out of here or I'm going to like, and like we had water and everything, but even then I was just like, ugh.
Well, yeah.
We almost got to like the top, like we got pretty high up there.
I just never even knew it was a loop. We were so close before we could have done it, but.
Well, yeah, the loop you don't go is like high.
Right.
But yeah.
But anyway, it's been fun. But then we had like rain, so we had to stop doing it. We, you know, just trying to get out and exercise and stuff. And
it's good.
So when it gets later, You know, or, you know, if we do, like, less intense ones. We've just been trying to do some, like, big ones. You got to come and join us. But we've been trying to get out there so we have at least a couple of hours, you know.
Yeah.
Of daylight.
That's good.
So that's been good. And so we did that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday we rented movies.
At their movie store. That video store.
And we'll talk about the movies we actually watched.
When you go in there, are there other people in the store?
Yeah, there was like 20 people in there when we were in there.
What the?
People rent movies there. It's still a thing.
I need to talk to these people.
And it's I'm telling you. It's kind
of
weird.
Did you see that picture of somebody? There's like a full-on Blockbuster. Like, I forgot where it is.
Well, I knew there was like a couple that,
well, somebody like went inside and like took pictures of it. And like, it's a real Blockbuster. Like, that's... Oh, it was on Derek's Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Because he found somebody took a whole ton of pictures. It's a full-functioning Blockbuster.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, this one is not Blockbuster.
They were the ones that were in franchises.
Right.
Like...
But it just has that, like, nostalgic feel. Like, you walk around the outside for the new releases, maybe grab a 99-cent one from the middle. You know, it's just, it feels like old times.
I have no desire to do that.
The kids can run up and down the, like, kid aisle and pick whatever they want. They got Little Mermaid 3.
I'm all about Ariel's
beginning.
Hey, I want to watch this. Click.
Yeah, but you don't get to go in and feel that feel. And you find stuff that you don't find anywhere else.
I know.
Like, I found a Randy Quaid movie from relatively recently.
Did you get it?
No, because I wanted to watch something else instead, but I was tempted to.
How much are we talking about here
for, well,
the rentals?
It's there's 99 cents for anything that's not in the new, mm-hmm. and there's 7 nights. You get to keep them for 7 nights,
mm-hmm.
DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And then new releases, it varies. Sometimes, like, new stuff is one-night rental, but a lot of them, they just, you know, once they're a couple weeks old, they go to 7 days.
One-night rentals stress me out too much. It's too much pressure.
We did get one rental that was one night because we knew we were going to get to watch.
How much is a one night?
New ones, I think, are $2.99. No. Maybe it's $1.99.
Because you got to figure they're competing with so many different things that they have to – you can't charge Block – because I think that's what killed Blockbuster. Oh, yeah,
they were charging $5, $6
for a new, like,
we got two kid movies that were 99 cents, and I don't know however much the new one was. Our bill was less than $5, so I don't know, whatever that is, $2.50, maybe it's $2.50,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Man. So it's, you know, it's reasonable if you want to watch a new movie, and they have, you know, all new releases and stuff. So
maybe I'll start going there.
We don't go just that for the often, nostalgia but every once trip. In a while we're like, let's go to the movie store. Let's do it. We're going to watch movies this weekend, and then we go to the movie store. So it's fun. So that's pretty much our weekend. And then we recorded with you and hung out on Sunday night.
We went to teriyaki. First I was driving around and I noticed, I'm like, the town, I'm like, oh yeah, the Super Bowl is on. Well, then the Super Bowl ended up being like, it was the first Super Bowl in the history of the Super Bowl that went into overtime.
Is it really?
And the Patriots won. It was a huge come-from-behind victory. So remember when we were in there at teriyaki time, the Falcons were up by at least 20 points.
I don't remember that.
Well, the Falcons were up by 20 points going into, like, the third quarter.
That's one of the teams, right?
Yeah. That was the team that everybody wanted to win because I don't think they'd won before. And then you have the Patriots that always win. And, I wasn't paying attention either. But I just remember I got home and, like, I checked and it was like, oh, they're in overtime. That's crazy.
Well, it was funny because, like, we went to the bookstore before.
And the guy was watching it in the bookstore. Yeah, and
I was joking, like, I'd rather be in a bookstore. But they were, like, super, like, into that thing. Didn't even hear my joke. So they, I guess, would rather be watching football. But this is the Goodwill bookstore, to be fair. It's not.
And then the game was on. The
bookstore, you know, he was he wasn't watching the football.
And the game was on at the teriyaki time.
Yeah.
And teriyaki time is good.
Teriyaki time is so good. I wish you could all come to Yucaipa and try it, and I hope it never goes away.
I'm all about that pho place next door now, too.
Well,
it's good.
As long as it's next to teriyaki time, I'm just always going to go to teriyaki time. Because they have this new shrimp bowl.
Yeah, but I think also, it's interesting. How is popcorn shrimp on your diet?
Well, it's
still not breaded.
Yeah, but it's still, it's less
it's
than.
It's deep fried.
But it's still less than, like, if I got a bowl of pasta.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about fat?
Well, what about fat?
There's a lot of fried food that's not good. Yeah. Cholesterol?
It's fine. My cholesterol's great.
Well, not if you keep eating fried shrimp.
I used to eat a lot worse than I do now, let me tell you. I'm fine.
I don't know how popcorn shrimp is, like, a good thing to eat.
Well, I'm not, like, going crazy. It's in moderation. It's got to be. If I can only eat, like, super crazy, I'm never going to succeed long term.
That's true.
It's got to be, like, in moderation. It's got to be something that you can... Instead of getting it over rice, I got it over vegetables. That's how it's on my diet. So, you know, I mean, it's little changes like that. So I can still eat a popcorn shrimp, but instead of also having a bowl of rice, I have vegetables with it. So, you know, I mean, it's little changes that have been working slowly but surely, you know. And I'm no dietitian or anything like that, but it seems to be working. And I'm not suffering too much, you know.
That's good.
So, that's the plan. How about you?
My mail keeps getting stolen.
Yeah, this is real bad.
And then I told my apartment complex, because I had heard a rumor that they were going to move the mailboxes into the laundry room. Then they're like, the post office won't let us do that, because apparently the post office is down to like a skeleton crew, so they won't like take new things where it's like you got to go in. I'm like, what about mail slots? And I'm like, nope, they won't do that either. Because again, they're down to like a skeleton crew staff. And where they just drive up, put the mail in, that's it, that's all.
And no, like, locked box.
And then they won't do the locked box because they, at their other properties up in Chapman Heights, they spent all this money, put a locked box in, and it immediately got broken into and destroyed. And that's been happening all over the place. And then if you look in, like, the crime reports and in the paper, if you just do a search for mail theft on the Yucaipa, the Examiner or whatever, right. It's like all over San Bernardino County. It's like a freaking epidemic out here. And it's because there's such a freaking huge meth drug problem and all these people, it's quick and easy money for all these tweakers and they're stealing all our mail. And now it's the point where if it's really late, I'm scared to go out to the mail because I'm worried. Like, what if I'm out there and then there's people stealing the mail out there? And what if I get like attacked by mail thieves?
You gotta be there when they deliver the mail, that's the point.
It's freaking roving mail gangs. Well, the thing is, here's the reason why, cause everyone's like, just get your mail and it's delivered. And I know this is but usually, like, the mail gets here so late now because they're on such a freaking, that I'm already like in the house, in my PJs, right. And like, it's a long trip out to the mailbox.
Yeah.
And especially when it's cold and rainy.
So you thinking P.O. box? Is that what we're thinking?
Well, I was looking into it, except the prices have gone up since I had
they?
It's the cheapest one is $108 for the year.
$108?
Yeah.
It's cheaper to get one in Big Bear.
I know.
Just get one in Big Bear and then have my parents bring it down every once in a while.
That's okay.
This is a few years ago, but when we got one while we were like transitioning between houses.
Well,
it's something like $50.
The post office is in a much worse state than they were that many years ago. You know, the postal rates went up yet again.
Yeah.
Like, the postal rates are getting crazy. But $108 for the tiny one that holds like 10 letters.
Yeah.
And like a magazine.
So what is that? I mean, that's less than $10 a month.
I don't need that kind of, I'd rather spend that on like, If I have $108 a year to spend on something, I'm going to get another wrestling streaming service.
Right.
I'm not spending it on a freaking P.O. box. They could, cause as long as I get my, like, packages, I really, like,
so
everything
you
else.
Use the locker thing?
I don't know, man.
Does it cost extra to use those?
Nope. The Amazon lockers, no.
So you just go, okay.
I think I'm going to start using Amazon locker for sure.
Just do that.
I have only had one Amazon thing get stolen because that comes to my doorstep usually. It's when they put it in the mailbox, it becomes a problem.
Right. And on your doorstep,
everything on my doorstep.
Stolen.
Well, only like, I've had it stolen out of my mailbox and then I had it stolen. I've never had it stolen from, no, I did once.
Yeah.
I had the phone, what did I get? Some charger thing, then I ordered it again. Oh, I thought my pants were stolen, but it was on top of them. So that's how I have three pairs of jeans instead of two. Gamefly, I've had I had one game stolen and then they replaced it for free. And then I purchased the game and then when you buy it, they send you the box and the manual and then any DLC that comes with it from not like the DLC that comes after the launch, but if there's like a pre-order DLC,
right,
like you get that. And so I got The Witcher 3, and then like the box and stuff like never got here. And then Gamefly's like, we don't believe you because they've already replaced one thing. And then I found out from Carson, because I was telling about that, he's like, oh man, because he used to work in Netflix.
Right.
And when it was just DVDs, and he said they wouldn't blacklist somebody until they reported it was the magic number for stolen DVD was 11. You could report 11 stolen DVDs before they stopped replacing them.
So what did you do?
Well, I'm just like, I guess I just don't get the case for The Witcher.
Because they're like, you can get on their list. I mean, they're more strict at Gamefly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had just reported a stolen, I guess it was too frequent. They're like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And they're like, yeah, sorry. Like,
so what are you going to do then? If you're not going to get a P.O. box, you're just going to...
Not going to, I mean...
Do the Amazon locker?
And they can steal my junk mail. Because I don't get any mail really, except for like... No, all that's... I'm paperless on everything. And the only stuff that comes is junk mail. I'm a little worried because the thing that they're going for is either... Like you sending checks and stuff.
Right.
Or, but it's getting, I think it's like, I think it's way harder for that. Cause it used to be really easy for them to do like fraudulent credit card applications and all that stuff. But I don't think that's
probably more challenging
much
these days.
Difficult. I haven't been identity thefted. So.
That's good.
Knock on wood. But I don't know, man. I don't know. Cause like, it's just really frustrating that like my apartment complex is basically throwing their hands up in the air. The whole city, I mean, like the cops, like I've been reading reports, like they have like task forces and stuff. It's freaking nuts.
You know, what would solve it? This would solve it like immediately if the police force
put a poop bomb in my. I've thought about putting a trap in my mailbox.
No, more than that, because that's happened. You've seen the internet videos of people down poop bombs.
Yeah.
The police need to put little mini guillotines on like several mailboxes around the city, and then a few people lose their hands.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a great idea.
And then not only do they not steal anymore, but they have their fingerprints so they can identify the criminal.
I don't want to go out in the mailbox in the morning and there's a freaking hand in the mailbox.
I don't know what made me think
about it. I just thought of something. So the guy came today to, cause I reported that and I needed my sink unclogged and my sink got clogged and I tried to plunge it and it just sprayed water everywhere. cause it like went back out through the holes, you know, and then it just sprayed everywhere. And it's like, and then there's this like dirt and like who knows what else coming out of there.
Who knows what's living in there.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop doing that. And then, but the guy came in and he called me while I was at work. I'm like, oh, he's like, can I just go in? I'm like, yeah, just go in. He's like, all right. And then now I'm thinking, I'm like, what if the commandant was out here and he like let the commandant outside? Cause he's like, oh my gosh, lizard.
Have you not seen him?
I haven't seen him.
Uh-oh.
What if he let him out? He's gone. What if he did? He'll come back. He's come back like three times. What if he dies out there?
It's possible. I mean, it's a lizard.
Well, now he's house trained.
No, he's used to.
He's a domesticated.
He's become used to a certain way of life.
Standard. How long do lizards live? I guess it depends on the type.
What kind of lizard, house lizard.
10 to 20 years.
Oh, there you go.
They live just 1 to 3 years. Oh, the chameleon. But that guy's not a chameleon.
No.
Most lizards, 10 to 20 years.
So you could have, he'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to do something. Do lizards poop?
Of course they poop. Oh, look, you got a picture of poop. Lizard poop.
He poops in the tub. But that's a big lizard. Lizard droppings.
In their garage. There you go. Look at images.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to look at this. Oh, it's like these tiny... I haven't seen anything like this in my apartment. So I don't know what's happening.
Brendan just Googled images of lizard poop, guys.
It's like the size of a... Some of these are pretty... Oh, look at that. It's a cat with a lizard in it. But I haven't seen any lizard poop. I don't know where he's pooping.
I think he respects you.
So where is he pooping?
Oh, look at that. Of course you Google lizard poop and there's a girl in a bikini with boobs. With a... What is that, a lizard? Of course. Nothing is safe. Nothing
even
is,
Phil, nothing even sacred. Googling your name yeah. gets you boobs.
There's nothing safe anymore.
All right, well, moving on to Book Corner.
Book Corner.
I finished playing with Power, finally.
Yeah?
You ready? They had a very detailed Kirby's Adventure.
You ready for your NES Classic?
That is my non-existent NES Classic.
Does it have all the games in it?
What?
I mean, does it cover all
no,
the games? Okay.
But a lot of them.
Okay.
Mostly the Nintendo ones, not the third-party ones.
That makes sense.
They're very... You remember Nintendo Power was very... like it was.
They might touch on other things, but they definitely were...
I remember being shocked when, like, Street Fighter was, like, on the cover. I mean, it was very... It was. I mean, there was non-Nintendo property covers, but... Yeah. That was a, you had to be a big deal. Well, especially after the Simon's Quest debacle.
Yeah. Well, that was an issue too.
I almost wasn't allowed to read Nintendo Power because of that cover. Because he was freaking holding a decapitated Dracula head.
Yeah. But it's a vampire.
Still.
Cool.
I was like 9 and my mom's like, what the hell is this?
Oh. All right, what else?
I finished Game Boy World 1989, where they went through every game released in 1989, which are all the launch titles and then some of the other later titles.
Pretty good stuff? Like, good games?
It's just really well written and detailed and well researched, and you find the whole history of the Game Boy. Not a lot of good games. In 89, probably the strongest game you had was, like, Final Fantasy Adventure.
Okay.
You had Tetris. You had baseball. You had tennis, which was the big... That was actually one of that was like one of the better games. Golf, and then Alleyway,
yeah,
which was a their Arkanoid breakout game,
right?
And then in Japan, because more games counted, but you had some a couple Mahjong games. You had Taipei, which is like sort of like Mahjong, but not nearly as complicated.
Okay,
which that actually came out here.
Hmm.
No, Shanghai. That's what it. Shanghai.
Okay.
I think it's Taipei. There's also one called Taipei.
Probably so.
And then, but the one that came out here is like Shanghai. And then you had some random puzzle games that I never heard of.
I wonder what.
And then one that never came out. Another one that never came out here was a pachinko game, of course.
Well, of course.
And then you had, Castlevania. The Game Boy one, which was actually pretty terrible.
I've never played the Game Boy one.
Well, apparently it's like one of the worst Castlevania games. And then I think what else came out that year? But Final Fantasy Adventure was like the big thing.
Right.
Because it's that guy, the developer guy, that ended up coming up with like one of the craziest RPGs ever. And it's like a really out-of-the-box RPG where you have like for your character, you can choose like... The closest to a traditional RPG character is the human race.
Okay.
You can also choose a monster or a mutant, and like leveling up and the thing is like totally like it's just crazy. Like they did not level up and do things in normal ways, and it sounds really nuts. Like that's, I never played it.
What's it called?
Final Fantasy Adventure.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like it sounds nuts.
I never played either.
Yeah. So that was cool.
A lot of Game Boy games. To be fair.
And then I actually just finished this, so I can cross it out. And then I actually started a new book called... So since I updated this... Because I updated this at school. Let me just get the title of the new book that I read. I'm sorry, I'm just not prepared today. But I finished High Fidelity. I've started and finished High Fidelity.
It's amazing,
it's
right?
So good. It's, I don't know which one I like better because I love that movie and they're pretty different.
Yeah.
Like the basics are the same, but like, for instance, in the book, Marie DeSalle has a much bigger part in the book.
Yeah.
The shoplifting kids aren't in the book.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
But it's
I just,
so amazing,
I love
right?
it because, I mean, we've talked about this before, but like, that's us. Like, I've never really... It's the most us thing. It's one of the most us things out there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, the way they
the book
talk...
captures, like,
they're very,
even a different angle.
And the book, even a different angle, because you get way more of his internal monologue about everything, which is a lot of that in the book. And also, I love the movie because they use the Bruce Springsteen device, which I forgot that they... I don't... Because I feel like there is a lot of overlap. I feel like Nick Hornby and Cameron Crowe are like very much similar, and Jerry Maguire has the same kind of device with his old boss.
Yeah.
And Jerry Maguire was way like
a couple years before.
But I feel like also John Cusack was in a Cameron Crowe movie.
Yeah.
But it's that same sensibility, that same like, I don't know, he captures the outsider, like, artist type, more like that, and then, but then oh, also
cool
just
he's
like
British though, yeah. So it's cool that there's
and, like music, hardcore music people, yeah. And it made me really reading High Fidelity and just listen. It reminded me that I'm like, oh yeah, like most people, I sometimes forget that not everybody, there are people out there that don't even like listen to music really, let alone are obsessed with it in the way that we are.
Right. It's
so
weird.
Because it is like, oh, we are not normal when it comes, like, because I'm like, everybody does it, everybody, like, and then like reading that book is kind of a reminder, like, nope, you're kind of a freak. And it's gonna make life, because the whole thing is like, and I didn't know how to feel at the end of the book, because it is like kind of like the whole point is like he substitutes all this stuff so he can be in like this basically his own little holding pattern, but that's what gets him frustrated. But he wants to hold on to that stuff because you feel like doing like, you know, there's a whole like, I need to adult more and do the thing, but I also want this to hold on to all these things that make me like, I mean, I don't know. And I've had it put to me in meaner ways, like in the way some, for instance, somebody told me like, your interests like are not appealing to anybody. Like that's like the meanest way it was put to me.
When I was at the dollar store buying all the Legos. And they're like, how many kids do you have? And I was like, I play this game. And they all laughed. And I'm like, I'm sure. I said, I have two kids. And I'll share with them. But I like to play.
Well, my favorite story is still the time that you and Janelle, pre-kids, went to Legoland.
Yes.
She's like, so you're in
your
kids?
Yeah, your kids? And like, we're not
she
kids.
Said, this is my kid.
Yeah, what are you doing here at Legoland then? You don't have kids.
And then you actually borrowed a kid to go on the ride.
Well, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. We got permission. It's not like we kidnapped the kid.
It was like when Steve borrowed that kid to do the trivia on the cruise. Yep. And then he's like, hey, if you let me play with you, we'll win. And they did.
And they did. Sometimes you gotta do that.
But yeah, I don't know. So reading that, it's kind of, cause the book's a little bit less like, I wouldn't say it's like a non like good ending, but it's definitely not as, like, all wrapped in a bow.
Right.
As the movie.
A lot of his stories are that way.
Yeah.
Like they're not, they're real stories about, and it ends the way a real story would, which is, there is not, like, a definite conclusion.
But it's still, it's so good, and, like.
You gotta read About a Boy Now.
Yeah. Well, there's, I wanna read, cause he, there's a, there, like, there's a, like, I wanna read Slam.
Yeah.
I wanna read, there's another one that I haven't, like, I, cause at the end it had all of them up to Funny Girl, which I, his newest one, which you haven't
read.
Read
that one still.
And the one before Funny Girl also sounds awesome.
Which one cause
is it's
that?
Also about music. Something Jacqueline, or so it's got a girl's name in it.
Hmm.
But then he, so I wanna ask you, as a Hornby fan.
Yeah.
But have you read Fever Pitch? Cause apparently that's like his, even I know people that don't like soccer football, that still insist that it's amazing. But don't you kind of have to?
I probably will at some point. I haven't. I watched
his
the movie
first.
I
it's
own
also,
the movie,
but that's the baseball one.
I know, but it doesn't
that like, he kind of doesn't like
soccer and baseball football.
But the thing about the Fever Pitch is that it's his most autobiographical thing.
No, I definitely would. I haven't.
But it is about, but that would be you reading a sports book, especially about the most boring sport. For me, it's the most boring of all sports.
It's all, that's a wash. It doesn't matter what the sport is. That wouldn't make a difference.
I don't know. I think, what's more boring, baseball or soccer? I don't know. I don't like either. I don't like any, I don't like them.
Soccer, they kick stuff over their heads.
Yeah, but it's just them kicking the ball around for like an hour and usually nothing happens and there's a lot of ties.
I don't know. They're all boring to me.
I once sat down with a friend, like, he's like, you gotta watch this. I'm like, fine. And like, it ended in 0-0, and I'm like, I'm never watching this again, ever. And he's like, this wasn't that exciting. I'm like, no. Like, I still love that Simpsons where, like, they have the soccer, the big, huge, giant soccer match in Springfield. And first it shows the American announcer booth, and it's like Kent Brockman. He's like sitting there. He's like, Rodriguez passes to Jose. Cause it was like the Spanish team. I'm not right. Just being racist.
Okay.
And no, cause there was Boriaga, Gariaga, Boriaga 2. Like it was just, you know, those ridiculous soccer. Ronaldo. Cause they all have one name.
Right.
And so he's like, Jose passes it to Joe, passes it in, holds it, holds it, holds it, holds it, passes it, holds it. Has it, and then it cuts to the Spanish, and I was like, no, pass it, hold it, hold it, hold it, pass it, ah! Like, and it's so true, like, half of it is those announcers just going crazy. And then everybody, and all the Springfielders are sitting around like, this is boring. And then Willie's like, let's start a fight. And then they just have a big giant soccer brawl, cause nothing's happening.
That's what you do. Yeah, see, none of that's appealing.
Well, the IT crowd is probably the best. Oh my
gosh, that's the greatest.
There you go.
The game. Yeah. And then that scene when they're there and he's like, he has like the little like noise making thing. He's like, do I use this now? Like, he's just passed the ball and apparently that's something worth applauding for. Okay. I love them. Love them so much.
Did you watch a special?
I did, yes.
It was great.
Oh my gosh. Love it.
It's so funny.
It was exactly what
I hope they like. I hope they make another one of those like every few years.
They super could.
Although like they are kind of huge now.
Yeah, that's true. But still, you know, he's got his.
It's true. They were pretty big when they had kind of hit America by the time they did that special.
Yeah,
it's just possible.
I wish they would.
Well. Right now, I just started a new book from my crime books that I got, the Humble Crime Book Bundle. This one's called Coroner at Large, and he writes about, like, the forensics on, like, these really famous cases.
All right.
I just started it. I hope it doesn't get too gross.
But that's, like, been your new thing.
Crime is fascinating.
I don't know.
Like, it's crazy. Because I just really like, because it's, like, real life, like, detective stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
And mysteries. And then, like, after being in that courtroom, I'm kind of fascinated with the whole process. And then, of course, just the OJ stuff.
Yeah.
So now I just want to read. And plus, this crime bundle, it was, like, $5, and I got, like, 20 books.
Gotta love the bundle.
And those book bundles, man, there's nothing like it. There was a Neil Gaiman one that I just got, so now I have all those, too. I have so many books. And then I keep, dude, those BookBub and all that stuff. Finding I got High Fidelity when it was on, I got an alert and it was $1.99.
There you go.
Like, I don't even go to the library anymore.
I don't either because, I owe $10.10.
Uh-oh. What happened? Library police gonna come after you.
I know, Bookman. Bookman's coming for me. No, we'll go back. It just, in December, it was like when school was getting out and we checked a bunch of books out and then like I forgot that we're supposed to turn them in like on our way out to vacation and then I forgot and they were sitting at home while we were on our trip, so.
I actually have some books from the Fullerton Library
Oh my gosh.
Or no, it was the Anaheim Library.
We returned them. We just owe them $10.
Well, it got to the point where if I did, I'd have to, and then like, I just kind of pretend like, and I left, I moved just away moved. And.
Well, the problem is too, they only take cash there.
Yeah.
And so like, I every time I'm like,
they used to take cards and they don't anymore. They don't.
So whenever I'm like, we gotta go to the library, oh, I don't have $10. So I have to go another time.
They do let you keep a balance of like a certain amount of money.
I know, but I don't want
to. I kept a $5 balance for like 2 years.
I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to go when I get my $10. Feel too
guilty.
Yeah.
They're very nice there.
No, they very are. But I legitimately owe them some fees. I'm not like arguing it. I got to like get $10 in cash sometimes.
That is another place where you can rent movies.
It is.
But they also charge.
They do.
I think the video store might be cheaper than the library. Because the library, some of their new releases, isn't like $4?
I think so. And I know our total bill for three movies was less than $5. Yeah. So.
But they do have a lot of like new releases there at the library. It's impressive. Well, the other book I'm reading, it's called Hearts in Suspension. And this is interesting. So, if you're familiar with Stephen King, he wrote a book called Hearts in Atlantis, which is a collection of novellas, one of which was Loman Yellow Coats, which is actually made into the movie Hearts in Atlantis, script by William Goldman. So it was the first movie Anton Yelchin did. Anthony Hopkins, it's a great... But then the second, the actual novella called Hearts in Atlantis, it's based on Stephen King's freshman year of college at University of Maine, Orono. And so the University of Maine, Orono, to celebrate, I think it's the 40th anniversary of Stephen King's freshman year at the University of Maine, Orono, okay. They published this book. You have to order it. The only way to get it is through the University of Maine Press.
Huh.
So at some point, this could end up being one of the rarer... I don't know if they're on, like, an unlimited print run.
Do you have a physical copy of it?
Yeah, I ordered it from the University of Maine Press. It was not cheap for a book.
That's the only way to get it.
It was $35 with shipping.
Ugh.
But this is I think this is going to end up being, like, a pretty, like, because it's the only way to get it. I don't know what the print run or if they're going to keep making them or what. Huh. But one, they reprinted The Hearts in Atlantis, but the reason why, because that's not, but they also, they've got a new, like, essays from one of Stephen King's professors is the one that put it together. And then there's an essay from Stephen King basically telling the real stories behind, like, The Hearts in Atlantis. Now, that's, like, one of my favorite.
Cool.
That novella is, like, my favorite thing that he's written. It's the best thing. I think it's the best thing he's written. I think if you don't like horror, if this has nothing to do with any of that, it's just a great... It's a timeless story of the college experience.
Okay.
And like that, I've never read anything that's captured that, but it's especially like the 60s, but just that first year of college and like, so it's him telling and like all these, and then it has 10 more essays from different people. From other people that both friends and other people on the campus about that time and about Stephen King and then their experiences like mostly like through that movement. And then the one of the main reasons why I bought it is cause I've found there's some of these that are on there's like one or two that have popped up on the internet. I have another book that has another one, but it actually has 10 of his columns from the school, the University of Maine newspaper.
Oh, that's cool.
That was called King's Garbage Track. That up until now, like again, these were like the whole, like one of the holy grails of like Stephen King writings.
That's cool.
And so it's a really like if you're a diehard, I highly recommend you check it out. If you just type in Hearts in Suspension, University of Maine Press, you can go to their website. You can't get it on Amazon. You can't get it in bookstores.
That's really cool.
And yeah, so I'm really stoked about it. So far, I've been reading his essay, and again, this is like my favorite of his work, so I'm just really excited about it. Man, sweet. I love Goodreads. I'm really curious, like, look at this, like, Richard Matheson book. And
so while you're looking through your Goodreads, I read a little bit more of Harry Potter, but then,
you're never going to finish.
Story Thieves came, and I got a little sidetracked here.
So you got the new Story Thieves book.
It's amazing. What's it called? That far into it. It's, what is it called?
Oh, good job.
I don't know. I didn't update my thing. You just had it on the thing there.
Good job, Phil.
Story Thieves book.
It's in my want to read. It's in my want to read. I need to order, because, like,
I got it on Amazon for, like, $6 or $7, including shipping, so...
It is, Secret Origins.
That's right. It's a superhero comic one.
Yeah, it's the superhero one. Which the character made her appearance in the second book.
Right, right.
And he also just announced the fourth book, which is now coming out in September, and it's the pick your...
Choose Your Own Adventure.
It's the Choose Your Own Adventure one, which he was working on while we were interviewing him.
Yeah. I've just read the first few chapters and it's so good. It starts out with a bang and I love it. And did Jerry review it?
She marked it as to read.
Oh, okay.
I think she just finished the second one.
Okay.
Or maybe she just finished the first one. I know she's reading them.
Well, it's great. You guys should all check them out.
Should look.
He is.
I love that he's so active on Goodreads. He's answering questions like every day.
I think he said there's going to be 5 books in the series in his plan. So,
yeah,
that's fantastic.
So she, so she just read Cursed Child. Now I'm looking at Jerry's.
You're going through Jerry's thing.
Goodreads. She reads a lot of books.
Okay, so while you're doing that, because I think that's all the books, I have to tell just one more cool, I had a cool music thing this week.
I had some cool music stuff this week too.
So I'm on like a number of music boards, as you know, and there's one that is for Tooth and Nail Records, which is a record label that put out a lot of bands that I like. And this guy, there's one where we just post about the thing, but there's also like a swap meet where we, you know, buy and sell the various, you know, stuff. And a lot of times you get stuff that's related or, you know, just from that same scene, but not necessarily Tooth and Nail. So anyway, this guy posted a picture. He had like a collection of, I think it was something like 700 CDs. And he's like, I'm getting rid of my CDs. I'm going to dump them.
Oh, she just read book two. So she's on book three, just like me.
He's like, I'm going to dump them all. I'm going to like get rid of them all.
Did you buy another giant thing of CDs?
Not that much, but he's like, I want a dollar each. And I'll, you know, I'll
why are you getting rid of all this stuff?
He's just ready to go digital. And he's like, I want a dollar each, and I just want, you know, and you cover like a couple bucks for shipping.
Does he have like some gold?
Gold. So I
did he have your Plastic Music?
He didn't have the one, but he had the second ever Plastic Music release, Mothership, which I don't have. It's the Randy Rose one. I got that. So a couple other people beat me to a couple things that I wanted, but I got like.
What'd you get?
Absolute gold. So I got the Mothership one. I got the only Breakfast with Amy album that I don't have. I wound up getting 21 CDs from him, and I sent him to pay for shipping. I sent him $24, I think.
Wow.
$24, and they're all just. Magical stuff. I'm super excited.
So get some other really good.
So yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get the lot. I'll see what I got. Because he had
how many CDs?
My original list that I put, I said I asked for 30, and he wound up with 21 of them that he had that I asked for. So,
do you get any Starfly or anything?
No, but I have everything.
Do you have everything?
The only thing I don't have is Starfly.
That 7-inch
is some of the. There's a couple records I don't have. Because there's 3 7-inches that, well, there's the 1 7-inch, the drop. There's 2 12-inches that came with a 7-inch packed in. I don't have those.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the older ones. And there's a couple other random 12-inches I don't have. Like, I don't have Leave Her a Stranger.
Do you have every CD?
And I have every CD.
EP?
I have every EP. Any of that stuff. There, I have several, like, pre-release CDs. I've got one of the master CD for one of them that I came across.
Well, that was in the Gene Eugene.
That was in the Gene Eugene collection. I even have like some kind of semi-officially released bootleg things. I don't know exactly how legit they were, but I got some of those. But there's just a little vinyl I don't have, so. And there's a few like pre-release albums I don't have too. Plus there's the Plastic Music compilation, so. Anyway, all that is to say.
Isn't the main reason why you want that is because it has a Starflyer song?
Starflyer and a Joy Electric song.
That is the only.
The Joy Electric one I've heard a remix of, but I've never heard the original version. And the Starflyer song I've never heard.
And nobody's ripped it?
Oh, lots of people have, but I'm saving myself.
Oh, you're that guy, I forgot.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
come
listen.
On. Of
you
course.
You, that was where I was going crazy because All of Slow was online for like months and you wouldn't listen to it. But you did go back and listen to his whole commentary, right?
Yeah.
On the whole album.
I want to wait. I want to.
Because that was amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear. I wanted to hear it the way I like to hear it.
You're such a freaking. I don't want
to. It's my white.
This
whale.
Led to a huge thing, so I'm not gonna say it.
Yes.
All right. Well, because I read High Fidelity, and I'll talk about it in a minute, but I watched just some Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
Because those are both. Music is a big part of both of those. And so on the High Fidelity side, I found, like, the soundtrack's not on Spotify. But what is on Spotify is somebody made a playlist of every single song that's played in High Fidelity. So it's like 100 tracks.
Okay.
It's like 54 tracks. And it's in the order they appear in the movie.
Well, of course, it should be.
So that means somebody did some work. Because they got
even
the ones that are.
They don't play?
Some of them. But I think there's another one that has that. But this is everything that actually gets played. Even stuff that's played in the background, like in the record shop and other stuff, they don't go that into depth. Because that, like, even, like, everything in the top five list.
Yeah, like when
stuff,
they're doing on the list. Like, that would be crazy.
There were some other ones that were, like, way longer, which maybe that's what those are.
That would be cool. Like, because they have their top fives. You want to listen to Barry's top five.
Well, then you have the book top fives, which are different than the movie top fives.
Right.
And... So, but yeah, but I, so, so I've been really into that, and then, and this is, I cannot believe, so I watched Discos and Dragons, so this is a little bit of the TV here, which, in my opinion, we were talking about this the other night, I think Discos and Dragons, I think it's the best episode of television ever made.
It's definitely up there.
It's my favorite show, and I think it's my favorite. Sometimes my opinion it changes, but on a pretty consistent basis, that's my favorite episode. I get emotional just like thinking about it. I as you say, like when Daniel plays Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks, it's just
And you think of the potential there too.
It's also like as a geek, like I had that dream. I had that dream that, like, the coolest dude would want to, like, come.
Right. But then you also see, like...
the potential for where they were going with the show.
And but also, you see, like, another side of Daniel. You realize, like, he's really just hurting. And he wants someone to, like...
Oh,
he didn't know it, but he wants someone to, like, enjoy being around him.
Yeah, it's... When he, like, is just... When he's showing Romeo and Juliet, that's, like... I feel like that's the lowest... point for Daniel, like the entire series. When he gets busted for the fire alarm, Mr. Rosso punishes him by making him go to AV, and then the geeks get like making AV as punishment. And then I love the AV teacher. I love everything about that show so much. It's so good. And so, but one of the iconic scenes in that show, in that episode, and I think in the whole show, is when Mr. Rosso gives Lindsay American Beauty by Grateful Dead to borrow, and she's listening into our room, and in her room, and I feel like that show has a way of capturing things that I never thought could be captured, like the love of music and what music can do to you. And I feel like that scene where she's listening to that record, that's like my life in a 1 minute montage. And it's, again, it reminds me, like, it saddens me to think that a lot of people don't have that attachment to music.
Yeah.
Because it really can. So I've never been into the Grateful Dead at all. The only real thing that I like from them is, have you ever seen the music video for I Will Get By and it's them all in puppets?
No.
It's pretty good. But that's the only real thing that I was into. And so on, I think it was Sunday, I don't know, I put on American Beauty on repeat and I just listened to it for like an hour. Really good.
Yeah.
It's, I don't think I'm a deadhead because I listened to some of their other stuff and I just wasn't into it, but that album.
Is that the one that has Truckin'?
Yeah.
Hope they play Truckin'!
Yeah.
Ben Stiller Show.
It's so good. And then the songs from that episode, like the one she's the one from the montage and from like that last song, the last song that's played.
Yeah.
Cause that song, it's just, that's the last song ever played on the show.
Right.
And
I mean, for that alone,
I listened to that song like 20 times. If you look at my, like, my Last FM, like, Scrabble page must look, cause it's like five pages of Grateful Dead. It's gonna mess up my recommendations like so bad.
You get a lot of fish recommendations.
Oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not into that stuff.
Yeah.
But
you're
maybe
a jam band guy.
Maybe I am now.
You're into jam bands?
I love that. It put me in such a good mood. I think it's because of the fuel behind it.
Yeah.
But I did it. I did the Lindsay. I did what Mr. Rosso said to do to make you feel good. And it did. It made me feel
Mr. Rosso
amazing.
Gives good advice.
Oh, I love Mr. Rosso.
I do too.
Like, I love when she finally realizes that Mr. Rosso's a good guy in the episode right before that.
Yeah.
Like, cause he, like, is pushing her to, like, ask George Bush the questions. And I cannot believe, I've seen that A1 Sporting Goods shirt, like, online and other stuff, and I'm always like, what is that? I'm so stupid.
Oh, that would be a cool
You can shirt. Buy, I think that might be a super awesome low-key shirt,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Because it's A1 Sporting Goods in Michigan.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And it's, I think I'm, the next time I think I'm going to get that A1s because it's so, that would be the diehards of the diehards. Because yeah. I know I've seen it and now that, and I know I've seen it on the internet and I don't know if I've ever seen it on anybody in the wild, but I'm like, I think I need that shirt. I just told everybody. I think that might be the ultimate, like, inside shirt. Yeah.
Well, our listeners are privy to our inside information.
So I think I'm going to get an A1 Sporting Goods shirt.
Dude, that would be pretty sweet. Then you would be able to tell, just like walking around at a show.
I did almost get a shirt that said, Harris is my dungeon master. But I felt like that was a little bit too...
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, Polk High or McKinley High, that's pretty good. Because I have like a Bayside High.
Yeah.
I have a Bontomp High School football. From? It's from True Blood. Okay.
I've seen a number of people in the McKinley High one.
Yeah.
I've never seen the A1 Sporting Goods.
The freaking A1 Sporting Goods shirt, dude. I think that'd be awesome.
You used to shoplift in your daddy's store.
Or a I've always thought but I've never found them. Like a Creation shirt.
Oh, yeah. That'd be pretty good.
What was Mr. Rosso's band called?
Oh, shoot. What was it?
Or like the shirt for that bar. That would also be cool. Or the disco.
Yeah.
Things like that. Or what was the clothing store? Like the shirt, like...
Yeah, but, that would be really deep.
But I love the disc. Also, Discos and Dragons is also great because Joel Hodgson is so funny.
Oh, and then the magic dancer. I didn't know you could do magic.
That's not fair.
Oh, and then
you know that new Stone song, "Miss You." It's disco, man. They know it. The Stones know it. Gloria Gaynor knows it. Disco's is forever.
Oh,
and Lizzie Kaplan is so good. And like that show, I still love exposing people to Freaks and Geeks because like when they see like they're like, what is like the star power? Well, now is like it's insane that that's a show with all these people in it. But I'm like, this is unknowns. Where they all on everybody.
Yeah,
like it's crazy. I mean, I think it's pretty well known now. But we've been...
Yeah, but even still, even though it is...
We've been championing this show for going on 17 years. Enough. 17 years.
Yep. So what else have you been watching? What else you got there in the...
I've been watching so much stuff in the TV. So we'll do a quick rundown.
Right, lightning round.
How are we doing?
It's already long
past. Almost in an hour.
Yeah.
We
this is our 10-minute episode. This is our 10-minute. Fooled you.
This is our, yeah, we definitely had to call this.
The 10-minute episode. Yeah.
There was the first big New Japan pay-per-view of the year, the New Beginning in Sapporo. It was freaking awesome. Just really good matches up and down the card. We also had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with Patton Oswalt coming back. And it also had the boss from Son of Zorn. What's her name?
Oh, yeah.
She's really funny.
Well, that's cool.
I won't spoil her part.
I'm so behind that.
I finished Baskets. It's so... You have to watch it.
Okay.
There's a specific scene. I laughed so hard.
It's on
Hulu.
Hulu, okay.
It's you. I think you're gonna just love it.
All right.
Like, because this is almost like when I first told you about Tim and Eric. Like, I feel like this. It's on that level, and I know a lot of people that will like hate this show. It's not as absurd because it is. It's a narrative, and again, like Louis Anderson won a freaking Emmy,
right?
And he deserves it because he is. Amazing as the mom, like, oh my god. But this show, I'm so on board to the point where I'm so bummed. I think with the FX shows, they wait till the season's over before they put them up. Cause it's on, the new second season's on right now, but they're not putting the episodes up.
Oh, so you have to be behind.
But I'm like, but it's, you have to, it's so good.
All right.
And there is one scene, I seriously think I woke up my neighbor because it was like 2 a.m. and I was laughing so hard. It's so funny, and it's so stupid, and it's so absurd, and Zach Galifianakis is a freaking genius, and Louis C.K. is a genius, because they're, like, Louis C.K. is not on the show, but he's, like, one of the masterminds. Right. It's amazing. All it's right. so good.
I will definitely
I'm telling
it.
You, this is, I'm giving it my, to you specifically, maybe to, I don't, again, I give it to you my highest recommendation, because I know you.
Well, just this week, I've been watching your other recommendation, so I do take your
the one I texted you.
Yes.
You know when I'm really excited about something, it's usually pretty good. You
told me what it was, that it's a new show about...
Not new, from 2008.
New, newly available to me, about people telling you how much old stuff is worth. I had to wait. I had to wait until I knew that I had some time.
You had some time.
Because I watched
the whole thing. You watched them all. Of course you did.
I blew through them and it's fantastic.
Dealers, put your money where your mouth is on Netflix.
Yep. I also watched some episodes on YouTube that like I found some people have uploaded.
So you found, because it's like there's tons.
There's
of
like 13 or no 11 seasons or something like that. I don't know. It's insane. It's been going a long time.
What would you do if you had, because they have that BBC, if you like, if you're in, if you live in England, you can get the BBC iPlayer, and I think all of that stuff, like, is on there. Because I remember Matt Myra got it, because he got a, he did a region unlock, just so we could watch all the Cash in the Attics.
Oh my god. Because there's like, totally do that. There's like, forever.
Yeah, so he seriously said he had to stop, because he just couldn't stop watching it, and he said he watched, he said one time he watched like 12 hours straight of Cash in
I would too. When it was on, because they used to have like the same thing as this, like one season on Netflix. I watched it through at least twice.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, because of that, because I was on that kick, I am pretty deep in my like probably 100th rewatch of Storage Wars. But I love that show so much. I could watch it all day long.
But I
could,
love that.
I'm at the point where I'm like, I can quote like things that they say.
You do quote things that they say.
I want Barry Weiss to like be my like. I wanna go live with Barry.
There's totally a Barry on Dealers on Your Mouth. It's late. You haven't gotten to me.
I looked up. I actually got to the point where I went on American Auctions website, and there's nothing near Yucaipa in the near future. Because I'm like, my dream is to go to the one in like anywhere near Yucaipa, and like Barry's there. Because I feel like I could. I feel like Barry, I could be a Barry psychic. Yeah. I feel like if I, I've run this through in my head, like how I would introduce myself to Barry and sell him on me.
Hello, I'm the Brendo Man. That's it. Introduce yourself as the Brendo Man, you're in.
Yeah.
He knows.
I would love to be a Barry sidekick.
But there's something about
like, I saw the ones where he picked the PA to be his sidekick, and he just grabbed the PA.
Telling you,
and I'm like, I bet you that dude got fired.
So, the contrast between how they are in Storage Wars and how they on the British
night
people,
and day,
because
they're so polite,
incredibly polite, and like even if they do something like bid someone up a little bit, then they're like, "Oh, sorry about that, chap." Like, "Oh, it's all fair and
like,
more."
When the guy didn't, he wanted that thing, and then he didn't buy it, and then the other guy bought it, and then they just like joke about it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. They're like so
even when
polite.
The guy like lost hundreds of dollars on that thing that he thought was going to auction for a lot, he's still like just really chipper. Yeah.
Yes. Oh bother.
Yeah. And then you got the announcer, which is like just
yeah. Well,
really,
he's like the arch nemesis is head nemesis, the head to head in the battle. They're going to take each other down at all costs. And they're like, good day. Hello.
Well, on Groundhog Day, of course, I had to watch Groundhog Day, as I do every single year. Yeah. I love that movie so much. It's the perfect movie. I love it with all my heart. It always makes me feel good. I wasn't feeling so hot on Groundhog Day, and now I felt great. I love that movie so much. Like, it's important to me. I think I've told this story. It's the first movie I ever saw by myself. Because I saw it well, the first time, I saw it opening night with my dad and my brother, and then the next weekend, the next Friday, my dad and my brother wanted to go see Geronimo, and I had no desire to watch that.
Okay.
And so they went and saw Geronimo, my dad let me go watch Groundhog Day by myself, and I was like, I like going to the movies by myself.
Do you want to know what my first ever movie by myself was? What? Much later, because I never went until... I'm trying to think what year it was. Well, anyway, into the 2000s, The Transporter. That was the first movie I ever saw by myself.
Man, I had seen so many movies by myself. I'm that guy.
I'm a social moviegoer.
No, dude, I remember even 12-year-old Brendo in that theater watching Groundhog Day by myself. I loved it.
I've been to the movies by myself less than 10 times ever.
It's a great movie. But
cool. Yes.
I just, and Andy McDowell is so, And like, it's just, it's that, the seeing Michael, young Michael Shannon never not, doesn't crack me up. Like, and I don't know. I just, the movie's so good. It's so good. Chris Elliott.
Ned Ryerson.
Oh.
Ned?
Tobolowsky.
All right, and then you watch this. This is fun.
Where are we at? Oh, well, I'm not all the way done. But it's expiring on Hulu, so it's been sitting in my queue because I've never watched it. I've never seen Splash. Well, as a kid, I was as a young boy, I was not allowed to watch Splash.
But they had it on Disney Channel. They had like edited version.
I guess I never. I don't know.
I watched that movie.
I have gone on record saying like I don't like ocean things, like movies, like fictional. I like documentaries about the ocean, but I'm just not that into. I think it's because I'm kind of scared of, like, I like Jaws, but, like, I'm kind of scared. I don't know. I think this goes back to my nightmares of falling into the submarine lagoon at the Disneyland.
Well, what about in this one? He falls down and she saves him by, like, breathing on him.
Well, I don't know. But it's Tom Hanks. Old Tom Hanks is so great. John Candy.
Daryl Hannah.
It is I'm very shocked at how naked Daryl Hannah is in this movie and how with this was is this the reason why PG-13 got invented?
Cuz
you see her butt, you see her boobs, like
mermaid.
And she's naked like the whole movie. And I'm like, I do know, here's the bit of trivia. You probably do know this. It's the reason why they created Touchstone, because they didn't want to put Disney on the naked Daryl Hannah movie, and that's why Touchstone had their more, little bit more racier stuff, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and some of their other things.
But then they edited it and put it on Disney.
But yeah, but it's really good. I really like, I'm not one of it. I've never seen it before.
Oh my gosh.
It's really good.
John Candy alone.
It made me want to go into like produce sales.
Oh. Have you gotten to the like dinner scene yet?
I don't know. No.
Oh my gosh. Oh, dude.
He just left her at home alone watching TV.
This is one I used to rent over and over again too.
How in love were you with Daryl Hannah?
I mean, come on, she's a mermaid.
Watching this and then like watching like Kill Bill Volume 2, like she's aged like super gracefully.
Yeah.
She's still super hot.
I also love her in Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Roxanne.
Yeah. Roxanne is a great movie.
Yeah. Those are probably my top three Daryl Hannah movies.
I like High Spirits, which we have talked about on this show.
Yeah,
because that is a crazy movie.
That's good.
Peter O'Toole, Steve Guttenberg.
Is that the one?
Liam Neeson.
Oh yeah.
Beverly D'Angelo.
That's right.
That movie's nuts.
What's the one? Okay, there's another one. We need to not get all distracted like this. But what was the movie with Robert Downey Jr. where they all got stuck to the guy, the ghost?
Oh, were stuck to him. I watched that. You had that on Heart and Souls.
Heart and Souls. There you go. That's why I was momentarily getting confused with that. But yes.
I think Robert Downey Jr. is in. Who's the other? Who's the dude? There's another guy in High Spirits. It's not Robert Downey Jr.
I don't know.
Some other.
But for now a moment, I was thinking that, and then I now
Peter
I know
O'Toole is so good in them. Peter O'Toole, because when you think about in the late 80s. Peter O'Toole slummed it quite a bit. I think he must have, I don't know what, because he was in that. He was in King Ralph.
King Ralph was great.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when we're talking about, like, I think both of those were not very successful. King Ralph is also a weird
movie. Well, that's definitely in that, like, is it, because there's boobs in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, like.
That was, like, was it PG? Was that in PG-13?
I think it was
PG-13.
No, because that was, like, 89. That was definitely in PG-13 times.
Well, still, it felt a little, like, more.
It's definitely a little racy.
Yeah.
I saw that with my dad. So that's my DVD on Demand Corner. You still Detour?
I didn't watch any new episodes of it. I didn't update this.
Yeah, you didn't update this.
But we rented two movies I got to talk about real quick. First of all, well, I told you what the kids got, but I didn't watch that one with them. The Little Mermaid 3, Ariel's Beginning, which is fine. They had fun.
But they've never seen Little Mermaid 2.
Yeah, they have.
Oh.
We have that on VHS. Ugh. They've watched that on VHS. We have the original, of course, but whatever. They like.
I wouldn't let my. You won't let your kids watch the prequels, but you let them watch all those garbage sequels.
Whatever. That's fine.
All right.
They know what's best, but it's fun to see.
Is it though?
They actually have the soundtrack to Little Mermaid 2 because it came as a double disc with Little Mermaid 1 and Little Mermaid 2.
Is it like bad ripoffs?
It's real bad.
I mean, is it Under the Ocean?
Oh, it's like worse than that.
Under the Ocean.
The dude's voice is not the same. It is not, but it's still Jodie Benson is Ariel. But for, okay.
So it's not the same Sebastian?
Well, I don't think so. If it is, he did a bad job of doing his voice again. But the lady who does Ursula is the same voice, and it's just she plays Ursula's sister, who's the exact same character, except she's skinny.
So it's like a Twin Peaks situation?
It totally is. It's totally Twin Peaks.
Okay, this is totally off track, but the first time the cousin showed up in Twin Peaks, were you like, is this a joke?
Yeah. That's her. You guys all know that's her, right?
But then when you realize what's going on, you're like, okay, I guess this is kind of awesome and genius. Because I think it's played... It's definitely played in a way where it's kind of like tongue-in-cheek. Because it's like her twin cousin. Her
twin cousin. It's such a weird show that it works.
Yeah.
As is Little Mermaid 2.
I can't wait for new Twin Peaks. I'm going to have to figure out... Yeah. I'm going to have to, like, buy it or something because I don't have Showtime.
But the movies that we rented, we got The Queen of Catway.
The
Disney movie that just came out. Brand new. It's the one with the set in Africa. Yeah.
It looked great.
And, oh, my gosh. Like, it's beautiful. It's a movie.
We saw the trailer for that in front of Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah, it's a great
And I know Jerry. I think Jerry watched Africa, it.
And she becomes a chess champion and... You follow her story, and it's beautiful, and it's something everyone should see. It's seriously good. We watched it with the kids, and it was great. We had some really amazing conversations with them because it depicts pretty realistically, like, living in these African slums and what life is like. And we had some real conversations about, like, how do other people live and what are we blessed with? And, you know, it was really, really good because they're like, why are they, like, sleeping on the floor? Why don't they have a bed, you know? And it was some good talk. Like, it was really good. But plus, just a beautiful story, great acting. Definitely want to watch that. And then the second one we got, and this one, Luke picked it out because we got him a video game of it before we had ever seen the movie. But we got The Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it took me this long to see this movie. It is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's Steven Spielberg directed it. John Williams does the music. Every actor you can imagine. Andy Serkis.
Peter Jackson was involved. Peter Jackson
produced it and did special effects with Weta.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright wrote the draft, the script. Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are voices in it. Tons of great voice actors. It's basically, and what happened, the story behind it is, when Indiana Jones came out, Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, and there was a French review of it, and Steven Spielberg was reading it, and he doesn't speak French, but he saw the phrase Tintin all throughout, and he's like, that must mean it's really good, right? And he got someone to translate it, and it turns out Tintin is this old comic, and the author, the reviewer was saying, like, this is like if they made a movie of Tintin. And he's like, what is Tintin? So he went, had his people find in the books, and there are these old comics, and it's basically young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, they're hugely popular.
And they're so rad. I mean, I want to get all the books now.
And there's tons of them.
Yeah, so...
Like, I think, isn't it still going?
Probably. And they're actually working on a sequel to the movie.
Yeah. It definitely did not perform to their expectations.
Well, not domestically, but internationally it did way better because
it's a very huge international...
Right, and it wasn't like a huge blockbuster, but it did just fine internationally. Yeah. So anyway, it's great. You gotta watch it. It's so good.
Everybody I know...
It's like an Indiana Jones movie you've never seen.
Well, I also haven't seen Kubo, and I gotta see Kubo.
You should see Kubo, but this is... I don't know. I might say see this first.
Is it on anything? Is it on HBO?
Yeah, you go to the video store in town?
Yeah.
It might be. Who knows? It could even be on Netflix. I didn't check. It was $1, so.
Eric Kennedy's playing a show somewhere.
I know.
Oh, Huntington Beach. Is that same place we went to that one time?
Yeah. Oh, I've been to it. Yeah, I think so.
I went there with you.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my thing there.
All right. On Netflix, I watched a bunch of Dealer. I watched like 6 episodes. I went on a tear on Terrace House because things got really real and I had to know what was going to happen.
Super charming.
Because like couples are starting to happen, but it's still super charming. But it's like dude, like, one of the guys basically revealed himself to be a maniacal, like, evil mastermind at, like, manipulating people. But, like, it's done in such a, like, again, like, non-offensive way. It's like watching Dealer put your money where your mouth is, and, like, they're so polite.
Yeah, but
and, like,
they're just living in a house.
Oh, but it's so good, Phil. It's so good. I love it so much. And, like, they, I don't know, it's so good. Everybody, it's so good. It's so good. I was, like, frantically, like, texting with Benson, like, I can't believe he's, like, just keep watching. Just keep watching. And then they just dropped, I have to finish this series, because they just dropped the next series, and it takes place in Hawaii. Like, okay. It's the next Netflix series. They just dropped, it just dropped.
So it's the same, like, people?
It's the same show, and I think it's some of the same people in the next series.
Okay.
Like, I think each series, they kind of mix it up a little bit, and there's two of the, like, of people in the city, I forgot whatever it's called, this one, and then they just released the Aloha one, or whatever. And then I started watching, One Day at a Time, the new Netflix, one.
Okay.
There's a new One Day at a Time with Justina Machado from 6 Feet Under. She's like the mom, and then Rita Moreno's like the grandma, and then the kids. It's, cause you know how we were talking about, like, they don't make shows like Family Ties anymore? Yeah. This is it.
It's a new Family Ties.
Cause it's like every episode, but it's done in such a, I immediately, like, you're like, this is so familiar, but it's new.
Huh.
And it's really good. It's really good. If you're into family sitcoms.
As you know, I am.
And there's a laugh track. And it almost, it's like kind of nostalgic.
Huh.
Like, it feels like, again, like an eight, cause I watched, my mom and I, we watched One Day at a Time. Like, my mom loved that show. That was one of the big shows we watched. I just talking to my mom. My mom's kind of in mourning right now because she's a huge Mary Tyler Moore fan.
Oh, yeah.
She spent all weekend last weekend watching. They had a marathon. She was watching that, and then we were talking about some of the other shows. Because the big shows I watched with my mom were Mary Tyler Moore, Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy. So all the, like those shows. And then, but then also, we watched One Day at a Time. And then also, what was it? Flo? Or Alice.
Alice, yeah.
Flo was from another show.
Yeah.
But it was Alice.
So Alice was the show, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Flo was on Alice,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Kiss My Grits.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's right.
Because there was at the diner and there was the guy, Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely watched that. And then Cheers. And then those were my mom's shows. But those were like, yeah. But you know who introduced, you know what else my mom introduced us to? And my brother always brings it up.
Huh.
Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah?
My mom, because she watched Thursday nights, like must-see TV, Cheers. So she's how we found out about Seinfeld, because she was watching it from the very beginning.
Huh. I found out about it from my Spanish teacher, so.
But hey, my mom can be cool.
Your mom is cool.
Not really.
I think your mom's cool.
She's cool in her own ways.
All right.
She's probably listening right now, and probably I just said is, she wasn't said cool. That. I'm just kidding,
Mom. Bad son.
No, I love my mom. I watched a documentary on Netflix called Lucha Mexico. It's a documentary about Lucha Libre and Mexican wrestling scene.
Oh,
okay. It's a little depressing because two of the subjects are now passed away because they filmed it over the course of like 5 years, and one of the people in it ended up, this has also led me down a path of crazy murders. If half the stories, I had to use Google Translate to find out what happened.
Uh-huh.
Cause the documentary, they barely even say that he died. They're just like, oh, it was horrible. What happened? I'm like, wait, what happened? And they don't talk about it in the documentary.
No.
And so then I look it up, and depending on which Mexican newspaper you read, he either killed himself or was brutally murdered.
Huh. There's a difference.
So it sounds like it was a murder made to look like a suicide. And that's kind of a bummer because his story is like, he's like one of the main guys in this documentary. And then the other one I did know about, it was, Paraguayo Jr., son of the famous Paraguayo, who's one of the more famous, but he himself was a very famous Mexican wrestler. Cause you, I mean, even you know about El Santo and
yeah.
How these guys are like just huge icons in Mexico, way more than even professional wrestlers here in America. Yeah. Like they are well known. I call in their star in movies
but as their characters,
as their characters, because the mask and like there's a lot of those guys that El Santo went to his grave. People didn't know his real name. Like the public didn't.
Right.
And but so these guys. Well, Paraguayo. But Paraguayo Jr. Tragically died in the ring.
Hey, Steve's here. Just for the wrap up of
our show. Gitano is. It's like Gitano something. Was either murdered or killed himself.
Huh.
Oh, John Gabing, due to you too, Steven. But then it has, but then, Paraguayo, and they actually, I had been avoiding, like, cause there is video of when he, like, died in the ring, and, they actually show it in this documentary, and I was like, I didn't need to see this.
Ugh.
But it's a really good, it's a really good documentary, as far as, like, Lucha, Mexico.
Sounds dark. Stuff.
It is pretty dark. It gets pretty dark. Because again, Lucha Mexico, Steve, it's on Netflix. But it looks great. Like the way they filmed in the, like it looks beautiful. Like up until you realize the two guys are dead. But, yeah. It kind of puts a little bit of a bummer on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I watched three episodes. Schitt's Creek is really funny.
Yeah, I've been putting off watching.
I mean, it's Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy. So the story is they're this super rich people. Their accountant steals all their money. They're bankrupt, except the one asset the government lets them keep is Eugene Levy. They're so rich that as a joke for his son's birthday, like 20 years before, he had bought him the town of Schitt's Creek just so he could give him the deed. Say, here, look what you own now. Happy birthday, son. So that's the only thing they own. And they have to go there and live there. And like, they want to sell it, except it's a town called Schitt's Creek.
So no one wants to buy that.
Nobody wants to buy it. And the mayor is Chris Elliott.
Oh, really?
He is funny. Take his character from How I Met Your Mother and just kind of crank that up to even more kookier levels. He's funny. I don't, the humor is pretty like, I know you'll like it.
Yeah.
Cause it's really goofy.
I've watched some clips and what I've seen, I've never gotten
around to watching. It's really goofy, but if you like Eugene Levy, if you like, Catherine O'Hara is amazing and their kids are really funny and it's really funny.
It's a classic. That's what kept them out of Mascot.
Yeah,
though,
it's so true. But it is a classic, but it's one of those fish out of water, you know, Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Oh yeah.
It's like Adam's works. Family.
It always works. Yeah.
Like, it always works because they're living in the motel in like this in the and like and then Chris Elliott as the he runs the motel but he's also the mayor of the town and he's like just he's such a weirdo. It's so fun. It's really funny. I think you would really like it. And then I watched a bunch of Freaks and Geeks.
That's what you got to do.
It was just it popped up in like my you know how there's the watch again and it was just right there and I'm like yeah. Feels right. It's always a good night.
It's always good.
Some Sabbath.
Well, I already talked about the only thing I watched on Netflix was Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, and I watched them all. So,
well, hey, since we read Marmaduke already.
That's it.
Was there ever a point during this episode where you thought we were actually going to end?
I hoped. You led me on at the beginning there. But
well, then, now we're
in an hour. You got to your TV and you said you were in a lightning round. I know that means they're going to go extra long.
Oh, sure. Listen to him blaming me right now for this.
If you go back, if listeners want to do this and time how long each of us talks about TV shows, you definitely talk longer tonight.
Well, I watched way more than
you
did.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I knew. When we got to TV, I'm like, this is not going to be over soon. But that's okay. Because you know what?
It's 12:39. I have to be up in like 5.5 hours.
Yeah. John Gubang Du.
I'm going to be so messed up tomorrow.
We better end it.
Nope. Let's just keep it going. Well, be sure to go to RadioBrando.com. Check out all the links there. BenVNetwork.com. Check out our Facebook page or group, Facebook group. Hit us up. Check out all the stuff. Mountain Room Escapes, our Amazon links, all that stuff is there.
They're all good things to look at.
And that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
So for Radio Brendo Man, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody. And John Goobang Doo. Still not old.
Nope. That will never get old.
Never get old.
Not as long as I know Mark from Princeton is out there.
Is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.
I'm Jordan, and this is Nerd's Eye View. Who do I have with me?
I'm Andrew.
I'm Tom.
And what do we do here, Andrew?
Well, we talk about movies. Every week, we always talk about something that's new in theaters, as well as tell you what's going on with the box office top 10 and what's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
And then we do a crazy thing called Guess the Ending, which Andrew has a wonderful catchphrase for, but it mainly involves us coming up with crazy stories for all the new movies that are coming out.
So if any of that sounds good to you, find us online, nevpodcast.com, or on Twitter, @nevpodcast, or benviewnetwork.com.
What was I supposed to say?